Okay. 2 Timothy 2. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. The things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life so that he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier. Also, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not win the prize unless he competes according to the rules. The hardworking farmer ought to be the first to receive the share of the crops. Consider what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, descended of David, according to my gospel, for which I suffer hardship, even to imprisonment as a criminal. But the word of God is not imprisoned. For this reason, I endure all things for the sake of those who are chosen, so that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus, and with it eternal glory. It is a trustworthy statement, for if we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. Remind them then of these things and solemnly charge them in the presence of God not to wrangle about words, which is useless and leads to the ruin of the hearers. Be diligent to present yourself, approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. But avoid worldly and empty chatter, for it will lead to further ungodliness. And their talk will spread like gangrene. Among them are Hymenaeus and Philetus, men who've gone astray from the truth, saying that the resurrection has already taken place, and they upset the faith of some. Nevertheless, the firm foundation of God stands, having this seal. The Lord knows those who are his, and everyone who names the name of the Lord is to abstain from wickedness. Now in a large house there are not only gold and silver vessels, but also vessels of wood and earthenware, and some to honour and some to dishonour. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from these things, he will be a vessel for honour, sanctified, useful to the Master, prepared for every good work.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, free from youthful lusts and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. But refuse foolish and ignorant speculations, knowing that they produce quarrels. The Lord's bondservant must not be quarrelsome, but be kind to all, able to teach, patient when wronged, with gentleness correcting those who are in opposition. If perhaps God may grant them repentance, leading to the knowledge of the truth, and they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil, having been held captive by him to do his will.
Lord, I pray that what I say this evening may be inspired by your Spirit and informed by your word. Amen. Paul is writing to Timothy at the end of a very, very successful missionary career where he has planted churches all over the place and taken the gospel to the Gentiles, and untold people have been saved. And in the past, there has been problems periodically in different places, and opposition has come and it has gone, it's gone up and down, and people have usually been able to just move or keep quiet and avoid it. But now we get to the time of Caligula and later Nero, where there's going to be systematic persecution of the church, and things will get harder. And also, it's also a time of plague and pestilence within the Roman Empire. In other words, life is starting to get tough for them, far tougher than at the point where they became a believer. And as they're risking risk and persecution in the previous chapter, Paul asks them not to be ashamed of the gospel. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, verse 8. And also to remain loyal to the faith. Hold fast the pattern of sound words which you've heard from me in the faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. In harder times, we need to not be ashamed of the gospel, but stand firm in the faith. How do we do this? Well, that is the moral of chapter 2. It starts, "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Well, the first half of this verse in itself would not be good news. Be strong, toughen up, be tough, stand up. In itself, it's not good news, because we know that in reality, if we have to stand on our own feet, in our own strength, we are weak, we are fallible, we're fallen people in a fallen world. To just tell someone to be tough is setting them up for failure. It's not just a question of telling people to be tough, not just a case of telling people to stand up, but what do you stand up on? What holds you up? "You therefore, my son, be strong, but have your strength in the grace which is in Jesus the Messiah." Yes, I'm not to be ashamed of the gospel. Yes, I'm supposed to be loyal to my faith in difficult times, in hard times, when it's inconvenient. But it's not just a point question of God saying to me, "You've got to stand up and be tough." We have to be strong, yes, but strong not in our own ability, but strong in the grace that comes from Jesus. We stand firm in him, and the strength and the gifts and the equipping that he gives us through the Spirit. If you want to stand firm, be filled with his Spirit. Have Jesus on the throne of your life and ask him to fill you. Then you can stand firm, because the base that you're standing on is not your own fallible life, with its cracks and its frailties and its weakness, but instead the grace that comes from Jesus. Bad news in itself, be tough, be strong. Good news, you can take your strength from the grace that is in Jesus. Put your strength in the gifts that come from him, the equipping of his Spirit, the moral example that Scripture gives. Yes, having Jesus on the throne of your life and being baptized in the Spirit is genuinely transformative. It can get you relaxing. It can get you resisting. It can get you trusting in the Lord. It can give you the strength to stand firm in situations where you would formerly be knocked over and crashed. I used to play rugby, and I know I've given this illustration at Tree of Life before. The way to catch a rugby ball is to have your feet on the ground, but to actually have your eyes pointed to heaven, and as the ball comes, to pull it into your heart. Have your feet on the ground, yes, but have your eyes up to heaven and pull things with arms of prayer into your heart. That's the posture to catch the rugby ball. It's also a parallel of the posture to live an effective life as a believer. Yes, feet on the ground, but eyes up to heaven and pulling things into your heart with hands of prayer. Paul says after that, the things that you have heard from me from many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who are able to teach others also. As some of you know, up until the end of 2019, I had two jobs of field ministry. The first one in Britain was a travelling secretary of Christian Academic Network. I used to travel around British universities, offering pastoral and practical support to Christian academics. My other job was as the national organiser of EDP, which is the Italian Messianic Movement. My greatest joy about one job and my greatest sadness about the other is that in Italy, I found two younger men who could do my job and share it between them. Whereas in Britain, there was no successor. Whatever you're doing, I think it is so important to find a successor, someone who can take over from you and do what you are doing. In Italy, well, to be honest, I phased out my ministry long before 2019. Gradually, other people did what I was not doing. And by the baton effectively transferred in 2016-17, not 19. But in Britain, neither of the three men who I prepared to succeed me succeeded. And it's struggling in the lockdown. It is so important, if you have any responsibility in the body, to actually produce someone who is doing the same job as you so that you can move on and it will soon be done or still be done. The things that you have heard from me amongst faithful witnesses, and Timothy was Paul's most critical a most influential disciple. Pass on to other men. Don't keep it to yourself. The gifts and the skills that I gave you, the teaching that I gave you, pass it on. Multiply yourself. Multiplication goes up quicker than addition. There was once a Chinese emperor whose life was saved by a peasant. And the peasant said, well, and the emperor said to the peasant, what can I do to reward you? The whole of my daughter in marriage, or half the kingdom, or was it the whole of the kingdom and half of the daughter in marriage, but quite a lot. And the peasant said, just put one gold coin on a square of a chessboard and double it every time, and I'll take those number of gold coins. And the emperor, whose maths was no better than his security guard, agreed. 1, 2, 4, 8, 16, 32, 64, 128, 256, 512, 1024, 2048. That's just one row of eight on a chessboard. Goes up much faster than 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. He got the whole of the kingdom. He bankrupted him. Multiply, don't add. It's worth investing in people and training and teaching them everything that you know. Don't move on from any responsibility in the body unless you have trained someone to do what you are doing, if you possibly can. Train those faithful men who can teach others. You must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself in the affairs of the life, but pleases the one who enlisted him as a soldier. Paul goes on to Timothy to say, I want you to be like three types of people. The first one is a soldier. What typifies being a soldier? Soldiers are disciplined and soldiers follow orders. Be disciplined and do what the Lord tells you. Genuinely have Jesus on the throne of your life, and then you will be a real disciple. And that will involve hardship. That will involve endurance. That will involve discipline during a pestilence time like this, when life is tough. Or maybe at the end of it, and it feels very end time-ish to me, when half the shops on the high street don't take cash anymore. Maybe at the end of this, people will be more annoyed with God rather than come to him in desperation. We could have some difficulty for being believers. It sounds very end time-ish to me. Therefore, we need to be disciplined. We need to follow orders. We need to be willing to endure hardship. We need to be soldiers. Second thing we need to be is like athletes. Paul says anyone who competes in athletics is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. I used to run the 200 meters and the 100 meters too. I had to start running when the gun went and not before. I wasn't allowed to stray into my opponent's lane and obstruct him from running either. Had to keep to my own. Stick to the rules as athletes. The other thing that athletes have to do is train. I was a sprinter, but even more so than distance running, you need to prepare by training. I mean, if you're going to run a marathon, you need to regularly run 20 miles every day in order to build up your stamina to do the marathon. Like soldiers, we need to be disciplined, followed orders, and endure pressure. And like athletes, we need to be hardworking and we need to compete according to the rules. Third thing that Paulson says that we need to be like is farmers. Farmers, I'm less sure about. I've been a kind of soldier and I've definitely been an athlete. But having been brought up in London, I tell you what, I've never been a farmer. But I'm told that farming is very, very seasonal. When the crops are there to be reaped, you have to reap. When they're there to be sowed, they have to be sowed. Sometimes at times of harvest, you have to work through the night. You have to work ridiculously long hours in order to get it in. Otherwise, it will rot. And I can tell you, missionary work is a bit like that as well. It's deeply seasonal. When people are listening, you have to speak. When people are becoming believers, you have to invest in them. You have to get your follow-up in hard and soon. Christian ministry can be a bit seasonal. It actually can be very seasonal indeed. When the work is to be done, it needs to be done. Paul says to Timothy that those people who you invest in, who you multiply yourself with, the next generation of Timothys and Pauls, make sure they are like soldiers, make sure they are like farmers, and make sure that they are like athletes. Make sure that they endure. He goes on to say that if we died with him, we will live with him. If we follow the resurrected Jesus, if we've accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior because he died for our sins, we have eternal life. He will reign with him if we endure. If we deny him, he will deny us. If we commit apostasy, if we sin against the Holy Spirit, we can disqualify ourselves from glory. But I'll tell you what, I think it takes a lot to do that, to blaspheme against the Holy Spirit and commit deliberate apostasy. I've only met one or two men who I'm certain have done that. Ex-believers who followed the occult and liberal theology and taught it at universities. The more normal is verse 13. And that is a comparison with Paul with the previous verse. He said, if we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. I know of so many believers who crack under pressure. When life is hard and life is difficult, they crack, they make mistakes, they run away from the battlefield when they're under pressure, and they wonder, have I lost my salvation? Well, if you ask that question with agony, the chances are, well, I would say the certainty is that you haven't. Because people who commit apostasy, frankly, don't care. If you're concerned about the issue, then you haven't gone past the point. If you've been faithless to God, he will forgive you. He's still your loving Father. He wants to restore you. He wants to put you back on the front line. He wants you to serve him. He wants to love you. He wants to build you up. When we are faithless towards him, the good news is that he is faithful and he wants to restore us rather than cancel out. Failure is not the end of the story for the believing disciple. Being restored, trying again and getting it right next time is what God really wants for us. He is our loving Father who wants us to succeed, and particularly to succeed as his disciples. He wants to build you up, give you a second chance and see you succeed. Present yourself to God as a worker who does not need to be ashamed. Shame profaned and idle babblings, they increase more. Don't get involved in silly and futile talk. Keep your ears and keep your eyes and keep your mouth on what really matters. Don't get absorbed with trivia. He says that some people who have got involved in idle speculation have wondered whether the resurrection has already happened, and they are a generally disruptive influence. Don't be like that. Paul actually says that within the kingdom there are some vessels that are of clay and some vessels are of gold and silver. Well, they're both still in the great house, but what type of vessel do you want your life to be? Do you want your vessel to be a life like gold and silver, one which is valuable, or one which is of clay? If you want to be the former, well, he says, pursue the right things. Don't go into lust, but instead pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace. Righteousness, faith, love, and peace. Isn't that a good list of virtues to have in our life? May they typify our life and be like that. People who are faithful, loving, and peaceful are normally not quarrelsome, but gentle and peaceable with other people and humble. The biggest leaders in church are not those who flaunt their power and say, wow, I'm an apostate character, follow me. The people who should be leaders in the body are the most humble, the most giving, the most sacrificial, the most peaceful, the most humble. Be like that. Gentle to teach, instead of getting involved in foolish and ignorant disputes and having futile arguments about trivia. Stick to what really matters when you teach or speak, but do it in a way that is gentle and peaceful and humble. This chapter is a tall order to a fallen person like me or you. But would Paul write it unless it was plausible, unless it was doable? No. He's nowhere near cruel enough to do that. This is a challenge, but it must be a plausible one, otherwise it wouldn't be in Scripture. Be strong, but base your strength on what God gives you rather than your own natural abilities. Base your strength on God's grace to you. Be filled with His Spirit. Have Jesus on the throne of your life and get into the Word so that you're living in the grace rather than your own flawed natural abilities. Multiply yourself. Whatever you're doing in the body, pass on to other men or one man or one person before, or many people before you give it up. Don't leave unfilled vacuums of service behind you. Be like a soldier who is disciplined and follows order. Be like an athlete who trains and endures hardship and obeys the rules. Be like a farmer who is willing to serve seasonal and do it when it needs to be done. And in terms of your virtues, follow grace, peace, love, and humility, rather than flaunt and get proud and go on an ego trip or get involved in too much trivia. Stick to the main points and say them humbly. Have Jesus on the throne of your life. Have Scripture determining your values, and ask the Holy Spirit to provide the strength and the platform for you to stand on. Amen. Thank you for listening.